the federal union people, talking off the record, have been telling me now for months that they expected it would be 2%, that the administration was going to really use the pay issue as kind of a club or a carrot, whatever you want to call it, in order to get the unions to come in and agree to some sort of a pay-for-performance thing, a modified version of the national security personnel system. And as long as they've got that pay thing, you have a Democratic president, a Democratic Congress, they're not going to go against him. So the irony of this is that in 2003, a president proposed a 2% raise citing national security issues, and the unions ate him alive, and Congress was irate and indignant, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then this week, a president proposed a 2% pay raise citing national security reasons, and the unions and members of Congress said, we're really disappointed.
You know? In a way, it was the national security reasons were okay, fine. I mean, 9/11's a, you know, not a long time ago, but right. It's not. But it almost seems hard to justify a bigger pay raise given the economic conditions that everyone else is in, it seems to me.
The interesting thing about this is, and, you know, so many people try to make this a partisan issue. They say, he did this and so-and-so did that. This started with President Bill Clinton. He was the first president to inherit this FEPCA, Federal Employees Pay Comparability Act. It had been passed by a Republican president and a Democratic Congress. It went into effect on Clinton's watch. Clinton took a look at it and said, these numbers are not right. The pay gap isn't that big because we're not figuring in the value of federal fringe benefits. Mm. And many, many people agree with him. So the first year he proposed a zero pay raise. And then thereafter he proposed small raises. Congress in almost every case overrode him. George W. Bush took office. He followed the Clinton pattern, proposing smaller raises, never zero, but smaller raises. The Congress overrode him. And they've all cited the same thing. And the irony of it is Bill Clinton one year cited poor economic conditions. He said, we can't afford to give a bigger raise because it will hurt the economy. And in two or three years later, or a year later maybe, he said, the economy is so good, we can't afford to give him a big right. raise because it'll hurt it. So there's language, there's wiggle room in this that every president that's had a hand in it has used, Democrat, Republican, Democrat.
And so what's the connection here? Because we haven't talked to you since the National NSPS report came out.
Yeah.
And I keep getting a sense that folks are, employees are a little bit almost upset at the Obama. They thought that when Obama got elected, this thing was going to go away, and it hasn't.
And, you know, this is one of these, it's shame on them. Because it's one thing to campaign, it's one thing to give your endorsements, but if you win, you've got to run the show. Mm. And every president since Jimmy Carter has said, we've got to change this system. You know, Jimmy Carter wanted to get rid of those automatic 3% raises, which somebody in his administration dubbed the being there raises. You know, you just show up and you get it every one, two, or three years. But every president has said, we've got to change this system, give managers more authority and more power and more incentive to pay people based on performance. Now, that term, pay for performance, has kind of been banished now. It's not politically correct anymore. because it does imply that people aren't paid for performance. You
right.
know? But, you know, we all know how this works in Washington. But, yeah, I fault the people who supported President Obama, all of the federal unions, and they thought when he gets in, it's going to be, you know, fat city. You know, we're going to be smooth sailing. And, in fact, he's the president.
Yeah.
And he's presiding over tough economic times when people are, we all, you and I know people very near and dear to us who are taking pay cuts.
Oh, pay cuts or,
yeah.
or no longer have jobs.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult, it seems to me, to justify that. But it also seems hard on the pay for performance issue to, I mean, it seems like being against apple pie and you know, you get outside the beltway
yeah.
and people say, hold on, how can somebody be opposed to getting paid? You know, people who perform better ought to be paid better.
The apple pie and motherhood is a great example mm-hmm. of that. Nobody's opposed to merit pay, but it's the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
And as the federal unions have pointed out, and you and Amy have had people on your show, we're talking about the National Security Personnel System mm-hmm. defense, 200,000 people, and they testified that the raises differ based on your proximity to the Pentagon.
Mm.
The closer you are to headquarters here in D.C., the better the raises were. And when you get out into the, you know, beyond the beltway in the provinces, if you will, the raises are not so good. Again, it's an equity thing. People say this makes it possible for bosses to play favorites, the buddy system, what have you. You know, it can be romance, it can be anything like that. But it's important when you want to change something, you know, the old line, don't fix it if it ain't broke. It's important to realize why they started this system in the first place. And they started it because it's the federal government, supposed to be a team operation by and large, and it's easier to give everybody the same raise, try to weed out the bad apples, and there are mechanisms for giving people slightly more or bonuses, which are not the same, but yeah, you're right to say that it's everybody is for merit pay until it hits them.
And you do talk to folks outside, and I think it's one of the misconceptions, or is that feds or government workers are by and large lazy. We know that that's in general not the case. There are bad apples in every organization. I don't care whether it's public or private sector. The part of the idea was about this was to also be able to address that issue, which they still struggle with.
A lot of people, I think, don't understand the system, including people in government.
Yeah.
The government has a very long probation period. And many argue that the government weeds out a lot of its bad apples before they become entrenched, you know, and that having security, you know, teachers, tenure, having security is a good thing because people can concentrate on doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're a lousy employee, if you're a shirker, you're going to get away with it. And it's up to some manager, some boss to say, I'm not going to accept this. There are mechanisms. People get fired every year. Not many, but they do get fired every year. And many people are sort of forced to resign. So
you see a connection between NSPS and the pay issue.
Absolutely. And unions have told me this. And again, they said, you know, if you quote us, we'll shoot you.
Right.
You know, we'll find out where you live. And
we like having you around, Mike.
as do I, as I enjoy life. But no, they're in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
They saw him clearly. They saw him as clearly the best alternative to the Senator McCain. They wanted a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic White House, and they've got it. But now that we all know, it's much easier to be in opposition. It's easier to be in opposition, and it's more fun. But once you're running the show, certain things fall into place. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Iraq, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know.
So what comes up on the on your turn tomorrow?
Got two good ones. Carol Bonacero from the Senior Executive Association. She's president, and she's going to be talking about pay for SES members, members of the Senior Executive Service. She's going to be talking about this cap that people in GS-15 at the top levels are bumping up against. You know, if the executives don't get a raise, they don't get a raise. Many people say there's no incentive if you're a GS 14 or 15 to shoot for the SES, and it's longer hours. And then Jessica Clement is going to talk to us at the second half of the show, and she's legislative director of the Federal Managers Association, and she's going to be talking about what's coming up with the Defense Authorization Bill. You know, everybody is saying that the health care is going to be the biggie in Congress, and it may well be, but for federal workers, this Defense Authorization Bill, which both the House and the Senate have passed and now goes to conference, it is chock full of goodies for federal workers. Incentives to save your sick leave, incentives for people who retired to come back into government, incentives for people who are in government to phase out. So this is going to be a big deal, and she's going to give us sort of a pre-Congress return rundown on it.